Thanks, Anna. Good audio? Okay, good. I was actually just thinking about that very verse, Psalm 34:8, as I was thinking about some verses I was going to share. It's, we'll see. It was definitely on my mind, so it was interesting to hear you say it. A good lesson. I want to share a little bit about sowing and reaping. Those of us who are on the men's signal chat are going to recognize a little bit of it because I sent out a little note on Friday asking a question and got some great responses. And as I was reflecting this morning, I was like, wow, I've got some really good fuel for the fire here. I should share a few of these things and add a few things that are on my heart as well. So we're going to do that and then hopefully leave a little time for Andrew to share as well. So let's go to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And as I read this on Friday, I was just definitely kind of really spoke to my heart, just like what an amazing promise that is, that if we sow to the Spirit, we can reap eternal life. Like there's something for us to participate in, something for us to take action on, and Paul is encouraging the Galatians to do it because the fruit of that action is amazing. The fruit of that action is to reap eternal life. So when I read that, I was like, man, like, okay, like, let's think a little bit about what this means. And there's a strong warning here too that it says God is not mocked. And so if we are going to sow to the flesh, God's not mocked. He's not going to look at whether you attend Christ Our Life Church or some other church or doing a number of sort of things that you may say, I'm doing all these good things, God. God is looking and saying, if you're going to sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption from that. You, all these other things, while they may be good, it doesn't cancel out God's warning that if we're going to sow to our flesh, we're going to reap corruption. And so it's like a two-sided sword here, right? There's an amazing promise and an encouragement to sow to the Spirit so that we can reap eternal life, and a warning that says, let's be on guard. Let's not be those who are sowing to our flesh and somehow condoning it or making it seem okay or justifying in our mind why we would do that, because if we do that, we're going to reap corruption. So just before I get into sowing to the Spirit, just a couple of thoughts on sowing into the flesh, or a little bit of an example of what that is, because he refers to that because he just talked about it in the chapter before. In chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities," like fighting and arguing, "strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." So this is like Paul gave a list here to help prick people's consciences to make them aware of it, but it's anything that's like this, because I can even had another one for me. As I was reflecting on it, a few more that came to mind for me, or one that really came to mind for me, was like, it doesn't say grumbling and complaining in this list, but I shared about it just a few weeks ago, and I can tell you that you could add it. Grumbling and complaining, it's a work of the flesh. It's sowing to the flesh as we participate in that. And Paul warns them. He says, "I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So that's the corruption. If we sow to these things, if we allow our lives to dwell and be a place where we practice these things, then we will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can pray a prayer. You can do all sorts of different things. If you practice this, if this is your life, if your life is characterized by these works of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's a warning, and it's one that I think growing up, I didn't hear that. And I think it's good to acknowledge that that's what it says, that the scripture is clear on these matters, that if these things are evident and a bondage in someone's life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But it's also important to remember what Paul says here. He uses the word practice. He uses the word practice. So just to give a little more color on that, the way I see it is like when we come to Christ, if you were born again, if you have called upon the name of Jesus for salvation and believe that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So in that, there's a transaction that happens. God puts his spirit within us, and he puts his law in our hearts and in our minds. So if you are born again, one test or one fruit of being born again is these works of the flesh. You may be tempted to do them, but you have God's spirit inside of you, giving you a mind and a will to not want to do them. Not to say there's not tempted. If you're born again, that'd be total deception to say you're not going to be tempted. All of us will be tempted. But if there is an urge inside of you to resist that temptation, not to just justify it and yield into it headlong, if you have that urge inside of you, that is something from God. That is God's spirit speaking to our hearts, saying, don't do it. Resist this. And so we as believers have a choice to make. We have a choice to either call on the name of the Lord to help us not partake of these things, or the warning is that if you have that urge not to do it, but you choose to just practice it and live that way, in that case, this verse applies. This warning applies. And if you choose to practice and live in these works of the flesh, it's a fearful place to be. But if we're willing to resist, even if they're stumbling, even if, like, read some of these things, outbursts of anger. Who of us doesn't have to repent of that? And I'm not saying there doesn't come to a place where you can overcome and have freedom from that, but I look at that and I think many of us, if I look back at my week, I know I've had to repent of that and say, Jesus, help me more. I'm not justifying it. I'm not trying to make anybody's conscience feel less convicted about it, but I'm saying I have been in that this week and said, Lord, change me. Help me. Help me to be more patient with my kids. I don't want to be this way. But that's not practicing it. It's still sin, and I still repented of it, but it's not practicing it. If I would have justified it and said, well, it's their fault. That's why I get angry. The kids are unruly, or this person at work does this to me, or my spouse does this to me, and that's why I'm angry. Well, you could find yourself practicing works of the flesh then because you're justifying it instead of repenting of it and turning from it. But that's the warning. That's the warning. So when it says sowing to the flesh, that he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, it's that these actions, and they start in the mind, but these actions that come out and start in the mind is sowing to the flesh. So that's the one side. That's the warning. But I was more encouraged to think about the promise that the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So what does that mean, to sow to the Spirit? Well, I got some great verses on Friday, and I'm going to share a few more that came to mind for me. But let's turn to Romans chapter 8 to start with. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12, and I'm just going to read it here. If you look throughout the New Testament, you'll see this all over the place. But this one says it just crystal clear. Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, so not to sow to the flesh, or to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So from that, we can see that it's really clear that one way we sow to the Spirit is to enter into the battle, enter into God's calling for us, that we would resist and put to death the deeds of the flesh. And in that, you have to do it in a, like, it's a bit of a mystery, I would say it this way, because knowing this in our minds, you could know this doctrine perfectly. And I can say this even from my own experience. You can read Romans 8, and the path to sanctification and life in the Spirit is laid out crystal clear in Romans 8. It's like almost step by step. How can we live this life? Or what is the life God calls for us? But I can tell you, if all it is head knowledge that says, this is what I need to do. I need to put to death the deeds of the flesh. It is only half the battle. Because the other half of the battle is faith. When you read this and you hear these verses that I'm sharing this morning, it has to be mixed with faith. Otherwise, it's hopeless, because all you'll see is the continued fruit of the flesh coming and the battle raging, and you won't find the fact that you're able to actually put it to death. You will not find that you can actually, knowing it alone is not enough. You have to believe that the Holy Spirit can help us do it. That even if I saw it yesterday and I saw it the day before, if I call on the name of the Lord and by faith ask him to help me, he will help me to put those deeds of the flesh to death. The Holy Spirit indwelling me will give me the grace to put to death the flesh. And it's the combination of both of them. Because if you read through Galatians, read through the book of Galatians, he spends 4 chapters talking about faith. He spends 4 chapters telling the Galatians, you will not find this life I'm telling you about through your own efforts. And don't let anyone deceive you that it can come through rules, regulations, certain step-by-steps, different things. It will not come through that. The foundation to everything that Paul talks about in chapters 5 and 6 is laid in chapters 1 through 4 that says it has to be a life of faith. That you have to have faith to live this life. I'm going to read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Well, I'll read in verse 4, actually. He's kind of concluding and summing up some of what he's been saying in the first 4 chapters. He gave lots of different examples, but he says, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. We through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. The hope of righteousness. By faith, we're believing and waiting. And that means that even if we don't see it today, even if we see today things that might discourage us and make us want to give up, we, by faith, continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Because what's the enemy's plan? The enemy's plan, he knows we know these truths. He knows that everybody today is hearing them, and most here have already heard it before many times. He knows we've heard it. So what is his desire? To make that knowledge just turn into discouragement. To say all of that you've heard about overcoming the flesh and reaping life through the Holy Spirit and putting to death the flesh, it's not for you. It's actually impossible. It's a deception. It's for others, but not for you. And so what's the fruit of that? You give up, and you just give and yield to those works of the flesh, whatever they may be. That's the enemy's scheme. He's not going to necessarily try and cut that out of the Bible and make you not know it's there, but he will try and tell you that it's not for you because either past experience or how big the mountain looks, he'll try and discourage us so that we don't believe these truths. But Paul says that we, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness, which means even if we don't see it today, we believe that it will come. We believe that God's word is true, and we choose to continue to sow to the Spirit. We sow to the Spirit. We say, you know what? Today has been a disaster, but as of right now, I'm going to start to give thanks and ask the Lord to help me and stop dwelling on everything that's happened so far, and I'm going to turn now. That's sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we choose to put our minds on things above. I'll just maybe read a couple verses to that end because I thought it was an excellent place. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Because sowing to the Spirit and putting to the death the deeds of the flesh, it starts in the mind. The battle starts through having a renewed mind that works itself out by the Holy Spirit into our actions, into our lives. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That's sowing to the Spirit. Seek the things of heaven. Seek the promises of God. Seek the truth that's contained in Scripture. Seek these things out, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that's where the battle starts. And I would almost say to some extent, I'm going to read it in Romans chapter 12 as well. Like, if we are allowing our minds to be transformed and be set on things above and to believe the truth of Scripture, the actions will follow. What did Jesus say? Clean the inside of the cup. Let your heart and your mind and your will be transformed, and then the outside of the cup will become clean. It will follow. But the battle starts in our mind. And it starts when we're feeling that discouragement. It starts when we're feeling the devil tempting us to justify the works of the flesh, or to tell us just that we can just, there's no hope, we're just going to stay here today. And I'm speaking these things from experience to say, no, by the grace of God, I'm going to start to transform my mind now. With the help of the Spirit, I'm going to start to give thanks. I'm going to start to take the lies captive. Oftentimes, one of the things that can happen is the enemy can just, like, I'll say it, in a marriage, if there's some strife or tension going on, the enemy will just be pounding your mind with lies about your spouse and little things, and this is the why you can be frustrated or other things. And I just at times have said, no, the main problem here is by no means my wife. The main problem here right now is my flesh. My flesh. Even if I feel justified and right, even if you think that you're the one who's right in the argument, maybe you actually are. It doesn't matter, because the devil and the flesh are having a heyday if you're turning it to be judgmental or build up a case against your spouse or against another believer or against an unbeliever. We have to say, the problem is my flesh, and I need my mind transformed now, where I stop listening to these lies against someone else, stop listening to these cases that are building up that justify me and feeling angry or embittered or jealous or any of these things. That's where the battle, that's one example of where the battle starts in our mind. And when we see that coming, when we see that happening, we need to call upon the name of the Lord. Say, help me, Lord. Help me to take these thoughts captive. Because everything inside of me doesn't want to let these go. They want to feel justified or angry. But rather, help me to sow to the Spirit and begin to put to death this flesh that wants to remain angry, remain bitter, or other things. One more verse quickly on this. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So here it says it again. It doesn't say so to the Spirit here. But this is sowing to the Spirit. This is sowing to the Spirit. If we decide that, you know what? My life, my body is going to be a sacrifice to God. I'm going to spend this life living in such a way that I can be of service and of blessing to my Heavenly Father, who gave His Son to die for my sins and has redeemed me and given me the opportunity to have hope, given me the opportunity to have forgiveness of sins. I'm going to let my life be a service of worship to Him. And I'm not going to have my mind conformed to this world. And how, like, you relate the two verses, right? Like Colossians said, do not set your mind on the things of earth. Does that mean we don't have jobs and don't have responsibilities and don't have to teach our children and don't have to get through our days like being useful and helpful people? Not at all. It's about where our minds are dwelling. And the things of earth specifically are speaking of like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, all of these different things that can consume us. We can get consumed with these things. And I think if you ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show you the difference. He'll show you the difference from having your mind set on things of earth, which is not talking about practical daily responsibilities, but it is talking about having a mind that is consumed with the things that are not of God, the things that are here, the now, the what we can see with our eyes and all these different things. It warns us that we don't want that. We want to have our mind transformed so that we're actually caught up in dwelling on the things of heaven and on God's promises and on His truth and His word, that this is what is washing and transforming our mind. So that's where the battle starts in sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit starts, in my view, with having a transformed and renewed mind so that we can actually begin to discern God's will, as it says in Romans chapter 12. It's helpful to begin to understand and see the different ways the enemy tries to deceive us and trick us and put us into his snares, because we're not to be ignorant of his snares, as it says many times. That starts because we have a mind that is renewed and set on the things of heaven. So I got like three more verses here real quick. Another one that I liked was, let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 23. I'll maybe just read one of these two, but there's one that was shared, and then this is one that I thought of. It says, in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but that which is imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God." And I'm just going to flip here. You don't have to, but for the sake of time, I'll read it. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness," this one actually even ties closer, "therefore, putting aside all filthiness, all these works of the flesh, and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." So when the reason these verses tie is because it's talking again, like the verse I read in Galatians said, like, sow to the spirit or sow to the flesh. Well, what is this? It's talking here about what we could be sowing. It's saying that if you're sowing this seed, the seed that will cause, the seed that is sowing to the spirit is to allow the word of God to get into our hearts. Believe the word of God. Receive it with humility. Don't reject it because it's in maybe conflict with what you maybe want to believe or different things you've held on to. It says receive it in humility, that word which is able to save our souls. So the word of God is something that we can be partaking of that is actually sowing to the spirit. It's sowing to the spirit to partake of the word of God. And I would say probably most importantly, to partake of it and believe it. Because you can read it, and it's not sowing to the spirit if it's just head knowledge or different things. But if you find one verse, you don't have to read a ton. If you find one verse, I can tell you, on Friday, I got one verse. I shared it on the chat. It was one verse that spoke to my heart. And that was sowing to the spirit for me that day. Because there was one verse that I read and believed and was encouraged by. And it was in my heart, and it was something to meditate on and to allow some of these things we talked about, being thinking on things of heaven, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the word of God is seed that when partaken of by faith can be sowing to the spirit, can be putting seed into the ground that will release a harvest of righteousness in our lives. So let's go back to Galatians, and I'll finish there. Two last verses. Galatians 5, verse 16. I just was reading this in light of this topic. And again, like, I'm going to read it first and then share a couple things. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And you can look at this a couple of different ways. One way I've looked at it in the past, which I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm thinking about it a little bit more. But you can look at it this way and say, okay, you're going through your day and you have an outburst of anger. You can say, oh, I'm not walking in the spirit. There's a work of the flesh there. That is probably, there's truth to that. Because there's truth to that. But what does that produce? What does that produce? In some cases, it could be good. In some cases, it could be good. If you were self-deceived and thought you were doing really good with God, and like just God was incredible, you're just right on path, and you're seeing all of a sudden these works of the flesh popping up, then I do say, look at this verse that way. Maybe let that be a little check for you to say, am I really walking in the Spirit when I'm seeing this fruit of the flesh all over? So in that case, it could be good. But if your heart is to do God's will, and you're not living in a place where you're self-deceived of thinking that somehow you can have a life filled with the works of the flesh and be good with God, this verse, if you look at it that way, it can actually be kind of discouraging. Because all you can do is end up looking back at your day and see all the places where, oh, I guess I'm not in the Spirit there, I guess I'm not in the Spirit there. And it can actually kind of produce a hopelessness in you, like, man, like, it says to live this way, but I'm like so not there. And if we look at it that way, kind of as, I don't know, like I just say it that because I feel like I've experienced that. So if that's the only way you're looking at this verse, if your heart is genuinely wanting to please God, it could actually produce a bit of discouragement in you. It could make you kind of just want almost lose heart. But the other way to look at it is to say, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You can look at it like a promise. Like a promise that says, you know what? as I sow to the Spirit, God is going to bring me to a place and is working in me that I will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. And it's like, you think about that, and like, I share in my own heart, I shared earlier, like, I think one area that I know the Lord is still working on me in is just in like anger, and like just, I just look sometimes at how I speak to people, most often probably my kids, but others at times, I look at it sometimes like, man, my tongue is like a razor blade. Like, I'm not like necessarily angry in the sense that I'm going to strike somebody or lose, like go crazy. But like, man, there's words that come out of my mouth that are so cutting and so sharp. I'm just like, I don't think that's how my Heavenly Father speaks. And so that's the flesh. And so I could be discouraged about that, or rather I could say, you know what? I want to continue to sow to the Spirit. I want to walk by the Spirit so that this thing that I know it's wrong, I don't want to do it, but I need the Holy Spirit to bring me to a place where I do not have that work of the flesh any longer coming out of my life. So I don't read this verse and get discouraged about it. I read this verse and say, you know what? As I walk by the Spirit, and we've been talking about it, and you could do an even broader study of walking by the Spirit, but as I read this verse and say, you know what? My desire is to, by faith, walk by the Spirit, then I know that it's true, that I will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. And even if I see it yesterday or see it today and repent of it, it doesn't mean this verse isn't true. It just means that I need to continue to sow to the Spirit. I need to continue to press on, that this verse will become a reality in my life. And it has become a reality in some areas. I can look at some of that list and look and say, I was in total bondage to those areas of my life. And by the grace of God and by the fear of God, they're not bondage in my life anymore. He has changed me. But there is further to go. There is further to go. And I don't want to lose heart or give up or say that it's just not necessarily is what it says. Like somehow it's maybe not quite true that we'll actually not, like it's justify staying there. I just want to look at it and say, you know what? I want to continue to sow to the Spirit. Because as I walk by the Spirit, I will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And I think I would summarize it this way. It's not about our own willpower. We need to apply our wills and yield them to God. But the miracle here is that the walking by the Spirit, it is going to be a work of the Spirit that causes these works of the flesh to be completely eradicated from our lives. That is sanctification, and that is the promise we have, and we need to believe it. So 6 verse 9, therefore let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. That for me is the conclusion, and I think that ties also to the next verse that may tie with something that Andrew's going to share quickly. But that is a promise. We cannot grow weary in doing this. We have to continue to press on, sowing to the Spirit, putting to death the flesh, because it is a journey. It starts the day we're born again and will continue till the day we die or until Jesus comes. It is a journey, and we need to have hope and faith and continue to sow to the Spirit